Hey guys, welcome to the Weekend Buzz. My name is Tony.
I'm Dale.
And we are back from Marbella. It was so hot. No, we're not actually.
Yes, it was bad. I don't know, the weather out has been quite nice recently, so it's not too bad.
Costa del England, that's where we have been. So yeah, welcome back guys.
Took a sabbatical. We had London Comic Con coming out, and then we've just had so much to catch back up on. It's been manic, but we are back, and we are going to be bringing you, you know, the movie sphere news and Weekend Buzz, 10 a.m. Saturdays, as much as we possibly can.
We can. Remember, guys, all them videos and all the interviews from London are on the channel, so please go back and catch them. We are going to carry on today with a rundown of what's going to be happening today, so I'm going to hand it over to Dale to tell you what's going on.
Okay, so we're starting off with our rewind from last week, which was The Mummy. Now, obviously, you guys, we've missed a couple of weeks, so we did have to catch up. So we watched the original 1999 The Mummy with Brendan Fraser, leading us up to our main movie review of the week, which is Mummy from the Universal, which are trying to relaunch the Monstersphere, is it called? Monsterverse.
Monsterverse.
So in between that, we will have our Buzz News, where we bring you the top five news stories, whether they be quirky, straightforward, or just randomly madness from the movie sphere. And then we'll be moving on to our main movie review of the week, which was Mummy. And then we'll be doing our giveaway, and this week is very, very special. It comes from London Comic Con itself, signed, sealed, and it will be delivered. So stick tunes to the end for that one.
Yeah, trust me, guys, you don't want to miss out on this prize at the end of this, whatever it is, guys, this show of movie greatness. So what we're going to do is we're going to move on to our rewind, which is The Mummy. So, director Stephen Sommers' 1999 version of The Mummy, starring Brendan Fraser, Rachel Weisz, and John Hannah. Didn't you think it was quite refreshing to see John Hannah in this? When you first see him there, because he was on Cold Feet, wasn't he? He was all around there.
See, I ended up watching the second one before I fully watched the first one. Because it was at that age where Mummy 2 came out, and it was like where they were trying to introduce the horror genre to the kids.
It was kind of weird. But yeah, we'll touch on that again. I'm going off peak here, so synopsis time, guys. An American serving in the French Foreign Legion on an archaeological dig at an ancient city of Hamanatra accidentally awakens a mummy. Now, Dale, first thoughts. Can you remember the time you first see adverts for this on the TV?
No.
Because you can't remember nothing about this film at all.
It was 99, so I was only like 7.
So you can't really remember.
I didn't watch it until like 2004.
I can remember watching GMTV. Yes, I am that old. And I can remember it going absolutely stir crazy. The Mummy, the remake from, you know, this da 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 da. And literally, John Hannah was just this British guy leading the way in Hollywood. Probably his only role that I can ever think of that was really poignant in Hollywood. And to be quite fair, I was kind of excited, and I really wanted to see this film. Brendan Fraser was kind of that new guy, wasn't he? He was kind of the new kind of rubber face guy.
George of the Jungle.
George of the Jungle. Yeah, so, I love that film as well. That was absolutely
such a good film.
Oh, it is. We say it's a good film. People are now going,
Monkey Bones as well.
Yeah.
So I'm going to bring this little bit of knowledge down on you.
Go.
So it was
hit me.
The budget was estimated $80 million.
Yep.
Its opening weekend was $43 million, a little bit more than that. But as of the 10th of September, so that was as of the 7th of May 1999.
Yeah.
Its gross as of the 10th of September 1999 was $155 million. So now you can understand why they did two more plus a Scorpion King.
In my eyes, I don't mention nothing about Scorpion King. That was weak.
But Dwayne Johnson's kind of like step into
it. It was. And Dwayne Johnson done a funny YouTube video of when he done that, his first acting role and stuff like that. So yeah, that was absolutely awesome to watch.
I know this is really off topic, but have you seen Ben Stiller and Vince Vaughn?
Yes, watched it last night.
So good.
Nostalgia moment.
I thought they were about to drop Dodgeball 2. I was like, oh my God, please do that. That'd be amazing.
But do you feel like, because they've done that, they've actually done that little skit, do you think they've sat there and gone, Let's see how this goes.
Mm. We did a Zoolander 2 and that was poor, so you know, there's no reason.
But Dodgeball was awesome. But yeah, anyway, let's get back on topic. The Mummy, 1999, Brendan Fraser, Rachel Weisz, yeah, John Hannah. Yeah, so I was all excited, like I said, after watching that glorious morning programme on a TV network somewhere. And I can always remember going to the cinema to watch this and being so excited. Like, I remember going, we'll go right back here to Jurassic Park in 1993. Like, I remember sitting down to watch that, peeing my pants and literally scared. And this one was exactly the same. I was older, I was straight in there and I was immersed. And I felt that Stephen Sommers done an absolute awesome job. You know, the characters, the way he cast it. Brendan Fraser's character was absolutely awesome. Yeah. He was such a strong lead role as Rick O'Connell.
From watching him as a goofy, like, George of the Jungle, to watching him in this, he actually did have that, like, at the start when he's talking to Rachel Weisz's character, they save him from the hanging and all of this, and he's like, you know, he actually seems like a real badass, and you're like, this is a serious film.
Yeah.
The second one had a bit of seriousness and jokey side to it, and then the third, we won't talk about that.
we don't talk about that.
But no, I really like this one. I watched it on DVD, and you know, it's a very, very good introduction to The Mummy. It was a nice way that The Mummy was done. The CGI, again, was good for its time. It's probably a little bit dated now. But yeah, like you were saying, I think Brendan Fraser was a great choice. So was Rachel Weisz, so was John. I think all of them, all the actors that were put into the positions they were.
And even Arnold Vosloo as Imhotep. Yeah. He was good. Him as the mummy, and you know, if you watch this, he wasn't mummified really at all throughout all of it.
No.
Like, it's a bit of trivia. All of his little minions around him, when like it all come about in the end sequences, they were all mummified and he was still this kind of monster,
regenerating
and stuff like that. And I think it's good to see that.
Is it this one with the scarabs, the one that go under the skin?
Yeah, that was, oh man. That was awesome. That was absolutely awesome. I loved that. That bit. And it's Omid something. I can't remember his second name. But I remember him because he's been on a load of BBC
it's
Two comedies.
A comedy, isn't it?
But to be quite fair, he played the warden, Gad Hassan.
Tali?
Yeah, I don't want to say his name because it would be so much disrespectful because he's such a good comedian on himself. He does a good stand-up as well, so if you get a chance to see that, go and see that. He is very, very good. But when that was happening to him and it was going up his skin, I remember he was grabbing his chest and then all of a sudden they popped his T-shirt open, it was going up his arm and he's trying to slap it away.
Yeah.
And when they cut it out, it was Brendan Fraser, didn't he? The knife in,
flicked it out.
But it's just a nostalgia moment for me because going back to seeing what happened here and how revisiting this and then seeing the new Mummy. You know, obviously we'll get onto that topic, but we've done it before with like Fast and Furious.
Yeah.
You know.
I never watched the original, like, you know, there's probably like the 1980s Mummy or something like that when the character was first introduced. I never saw that or anything like that. This was kind of like my introduction to it, and it was very, very dark. And I didn't realise. So I didn't think that the new Mummy of 2017 was like, I knew it wasn't a continuation.
You didn't know it was connected?
I kind of hoped that it wasn't. It had nothing to do with it whatsoever. And it wasn't a reboot or anything like that. I thought it was just like, right, that mummy back there was the Brendan Fraser one. That was a little bit of fun. That was a little bit of horror. That was a bit of us bringing it back. This one we want to make darker. We want to make this a different kind of aspect. But then there were a couple of Easter eggs that they dropped in the 27th,
which we'll talk about, you know. But to be quite honest with you, you know, this film for me, it was good nostalgia. It was good. I mean, you gave me the text message. I was going to watch The Mummy and all I got was, what's the original?
Rewind the original.
So rewind it. And I thought, yes, okay, I'll do that. No problems whatsoever. I've probably seen this film like 100 times, but you know, it was good. And it was fun. It was light-hearted. It had the serious moments. It had what you wanted. It had Egypt.
Dark and horror moments.
Oh, it was such a good... The cinematography was good. The landscapes, the scenery, everything about it. Even down to the costume. Sometimes, you know, being, you know, a 50... It was in the 50s, I think they'd done it, or the early 30s. Actually, it was the early 30s they based it in. Just, you know, the cars, the props, the plane where the colonel was in the plane and it gets swallowed up.
Swallowed those quicksands.
Yeah, it's so good. But yeah, I mean, there's nothing really we can talk about because it will start going into the new Mummy.
Yeah. I think the performances, like you said, were great.
Performances
the
awesome.
Storyline was great. It had that horror aspect to it. Like when the Mummy was going around picking up all the people that had his the organs that were in the little different
in the jars. That was awesome.
That was a bit dark and that was a bit scary and that was really good. So you know, I think storyline it kind of had it. And like what you've just said there, like the fact that you can rewatch it.
Yeah,
like the watchability of it is actually is like
it's
incredible.
It's a go-to film. It's kind of like I haven't watched it for say I don't know 6 months to a year or whatever.
Yeah, let's
and you revisit
check
it, and you're not sitting there going, oh, I know what happens. You're sitting there going, I know what happens, and I'm enjoying it. Like
yeah.
It's just a good re-watching film. A quick bit of trivia: Brendan Fraser nearly died during a scene where his character was being hanged.
Yeah.
And basically, Rachel Weisz remembered, she says, he stopped breathing and they had to basically resuscitate him on the spot. So that's a good bit of trivia because Brendan Fraser is...
Nearly died.
But some people go, oh, Brendan this, Brendan that. I mean, no one's seen him for years. There's obviously reasons why, but... You know, he gave to his art, and that's what I like. I like actors who give to their
art. He wasn't the best like actor in the world.
No,
he wasn't
going to
get Oscars and stuff like that, but he was memorable. Like, the stuff he did, you enjoyed, you watched. Like, Monkey Bones, I love that film. Even though it's like he was on some sort of drugs, it was really, really good and entertaining.
And, you know, let me give you one more bit of trivia here, Dale, before we move on. Who do you think was originally going to be cast as O'Connell?
I think I've heard something like this. I think it was someone like... Someone insane. I think it's something like DiCaprio or something like that.
Yeah, yeah. So basically, DiCaprio was all lined up for it, read the script, loved the script, and then all of a sudden, he was like, oh, I've got other commitments, being The Beach, which is another great film.
Do you know, he was also scheduled to play Anakin as well. He was scheduled to play Anakin in the original... the. Prequels.
Shut up.
Yeah, he was supposed to be playing Hayden Christensen's character, but he had other commitments. I think it was with Titanic at the time, something like that. I can't remember off the top of my head exactly what it was.
And to be quite fair, Leo, you made a good choice because then you weren't being in that bracket of the worst thing ever.
Even though Hayden Christensen was a bit wooden, no matter how good of an actor you were, you were never going to be
good enough. But yeah, so let's wrap this up. We've gone a bit off topic here, but The Mummy, the 1990 version of the 1999 version of The Mummy, I loved everything about it. I felt for the characters. I was in love with the characters, the scenery, everything about it, story. I can rewatch it. I really like it. And a nostalgia point, I go high, but I shouldn't. I know I shouldn't, but I will go 7. I mean, what are you talking about, Dale? What are you thinking?
I think I completely agree with you. I think it's one of the films I can watch again. The fact that you can watch it, basically, if you can rewatch a film more than once a year, I think it's definitely decent. The fact that you can enjoy it as well, I love the characters. It has that little bit of horror, it has the lightheartedness, like you said. I'm more than happy to agree with you on a massive 7 out of 10 on that one.
Yeah.
Easy, hands down.
Exactly. So basically, here on the Weekend Buzz, guys, the 1999 version of The Mummy starring Brendan Fraser gets a 7 out of 10.
Boom.
So then, guys...
brings us back to Tony's favourite section.
Oh, my God!
And to be fair, this is quite a fun week. So we are coming into Buzz News.
So, I'm happy to start talking about news. And I want you to start us off this week, Dale, please.
Okay, I'm going to start us off. This is X-Men related. Jessica Chastain eyes X-Men's Dark Phoenix. So, you know, after X-Men Apocalypse suffered a critical drubbing and saw a sharp box office flop, there was that little bit of a glimpse of Phoenix. So Jean Grey's character, dark side of the character Phoenix.
Yep.
So they're looking at Jessica Chastain to play the alter ego, which is Dark Phoenix, to be the main villain in the next X-Men movie.
Yeah. I think this is absolutely brilliant, and I've heard the whole cast is returning from Apocalypse, so I'm quite happy, you know, to see how it all pans out. Like I said, I'm quite looking to see how the Phoenix and everything comes into it and what they do. But I mean, I'm a McAvoy fan, aren't I? You must know this.
Oh, I love McAvoy.
McAvoy,
it's so good.
And the thing, do you know what? The other day, I'm going off topic again. Atomic Blonde, the trailer, right? They dropped kind of like a newish trailer. And McAvoy's in Atomic Blonde. Like, wow. I was in love with it. Absolutely in love with it. I wasn't interested at first because I thought it'd just be a female version of John Wick. But yeah, McAvoy's in it, so it's going to be absolutely awesome, I think, to be quite fair to you. Coming back to this X-Men news, I think the films, the newer films, from First Class to Apocalypse, I think they've all been, you know, on point with what I've wanted to see. Obviously, I'm going to be a bit weary because obviously Hugh Jackman's not going to be Wolverine. I don't know what they're going to do about that, whether Wolverine will feature any part of this new X-Men installment. But, you know, we've all got to come to terms with it somehow, and I think they're going to do a bang-up job. I mean, look at, you know, David Harbour as Hellboy.
Yeah.
You know, he's literally loving the chance that he's being given at having a chance of doing a reboot. And I think, to be quite fair, when this new Wolverine comes about, we're all going to have to just open arms. We've done it with Heath Ledger. We've done it with every other character that's been revamped and we've loved. So, yeah, that's where I am at the moment. But, yeah, the news is absolutely awesome, Dale. And I can't wait to see where they take this X-Men series next.
Big time.
My news is kind of a continuation of news we've had in the past. And I love
news
this.
News update.
So it's basically a news update. So the Sony Marvel Universe... So we've got the Marvel Studios Universe.
You've got the Disney Marvel Universe, and then you've got...
We've got the Sony. So
for those of you out there that don't know, Sony still hold the rights to certain Marvel characters.
Yep.
Spider-Man being one of them, and now obviously Sony allowed Marvel and Disney to kind of coexist to kind of take control of... Not take control, but help lead Spider-Man Homecoming, which is why it looks insanely cool.
It does, and I'm looking forward to it. But this news is Spider-Man related in a sense. It's basically Venom, they're looking at shooting this September, as early as...
Tom Hardy got announced as Venom.
I mean, Tom Hardy did get announced as Venom, and to be quite fair, I think he's going to be awesome. I'm looking forward to it. People were seeing him around London. We've probably all heard the story of him chasing down this biker thief, you know, and he was hench and he was going to the gym and he was working out for a role that he was really, you know, wanting to sink his teeth into. Lo and behold, it was to be Venom. I'm looking forward to seeing where the Sony Marvel Universe takes us. I know, obviously, like you said, Disney and them have kind of got a good relationship at the moment. We all know that studios can fall out of a flip of a coin. But at the end of the day, with this film shooting as early as September, how much has this been in production way before we all found out?
See, the question that really comes to mind with me is, how are they going to do Venom? What's the bag? Like, it's odd because, all right, for those of you who don't read the comics, Venom does go on to a good streak. He does become good further on down the line. He does take over different kind of people's bodies.
Yeah.
Now, the question I have is, what kind of Venom stance are they going to take? Like, which character are they going to let him lead? And how do you make a film sold in around a bad guy? Do you make him... Like, the only thing that I can think that's worse than Venom is Carnage. And the only way to portray Carnage correctly and Venom correctly is to make it a 15-rated film. Because Venom is meticulous and he's brutal. Like, he's no 12A kind of character. He is... out and out. And you saw that in Spider-Man 3, Amazing Spider-Man 3, or well, Spider-Man 3, where they tried to make him too childish. He didn't really get to have the horror look on him, and he didn't really have that, you know, brutality to him. So it'll be very interesting to see how they portray him and kind of what route they go with him.
I mean, I'm looking forward to it. I mean, Marvel also, Disney Marvel, have not ruled out, basically, not having R-rated you know, films in their locker for the future, which I think is awesome, because I think we do need because some of the storylines that go deep and dark, you know, from reading comics myself and you reading comics, though, you know, the storylines can go on and on get darker and darker and
they've
darker.
They've kind of got better at this moment in time, purely because 12A's can slightly bend and push the boundaries of how, like, horrifying or how dark certain things can be. And for Disney, to be fair, they need to maintain that kind of image of 12A. So I'd be very surprised if Disney themselves actually do a 15. But as we saw with Deadpool and Logan, other pictures behind them, picture studios behind them, can push that boat out and probably distract and detack.
Exactly. So. But, you know, one little bit of extra news on top of this, that the Spider-Man Homecoming film, that is going to be the first of a trilogy. And that is planned, it's in the pipe work, and it's going to be a trilogy.
Right, okay. Number one, trilogies. We've done this before. I'm pretty sure the first one, the first one was a trilogy.
Yeah.
The second one was supposed to be a trilogy because they were hyping up the Sinister Six.
Uh-huh.
This one, again, will it survive the trilogy? How will they deal with Tom Holland obviously growing up and going through adulthood? Because obviously, not on picture, he is still a young adult.
He is, like 18. He is a lad.
Yeah. He's still really, really young, so he's going to be growing up for it. It'll be interesting to see how he does. I think he's one of the most standout Spider-Men that we've got.
He is one of the standout Spider-Men, but I could also see Sony maybe carrying on with Andrew Garfield. I don't know why, I've got that inkling, but with Venom in the pipe, Venom going forward so fast, I think that happening.
For them to dip their feet back into Andrew Garfield, you're then going to be dipping into like the multiverse and you're going to start confusing kids.
Yeah, exactly. Like, yeah, I can see where
there's two Spider-Men, what's going on? The only thing
about Homecoming that I'm really not liking is the casting of Flash. I'm not interested in it. I don't know why.
Flash?
Yeah, they've cast the character Flash.
Flash Gordon.
Yeah, we know. You know what I'm on about. But yeah, so
Flash Thompson.
Yeah, Flash Thompson. They've cast it, and I'm like, no.
See, I haven't looked to be fair because I'm looking forward to Michael Keaton as the Vulture.
Oh, you know what? The wife likes Michael Keaton. I love Michael Keaton. The only thing though is I see him on screen. I'm like, it's Batman. It's Batman. Bruce Wayne. Because he was like my Batman.
He's the original Batman. Yeah. He's the Batman of our generation.
Yeah, R.I.P. Adam West. You know, sad. Yeah, very sad.
Losing the original Batman. You know.
He was absolutely awesome, but yeah, there was a animated series which they were doing, and he just finished the Batman.
Yeah.
So he's just finished.
Just finished it. So it's nice.
So his legacy to live on.
There was a really, really nice picture that I saw online the other day, and it was you know, one of the iconic pictures of Batman scaling the world, scaling the wall, and he was scaling up to the clouds. Obviously, Batman going up to heaven, which you know was rightfully respectful, and I think. You know, it's a sad, sad day when you lose an icon in, you know, the TV and the film industry, but, you know, that's the way of the world.
It is, and I mean, right, we'll finish that little bit of because we've gone Spider-Man mad for that last God knows how long. So we'll say RIP to Adam West for Batman, and we'll go straight to your next news, please, Dan.
So, again, unfortunately, sticking with Disney and Marvel, did you see the first Black Panther teaser trailer drop?
Wow, no, I'm excited. I'm like original Guardians of the Galaxy excited.
Guardians 1 excited, like Ant-Man excited.
Like Ant-Man,
And Doctor Strange. Because I don't know what it is, but Marvel, they seem to be able to do this. They seem to be able to go, look, here's a character you know pretty much very little about.
Yeah.
And they somehow managed to make you not only go, oh my God, you're amazing in Civil War. You're like one of the best bits in an entire film.
Yeah.
But it also makes you want to go and read the comics. It makes you want to find out more.
Exactly. And I understand that totally, Dan. I mean, I would love to go and see, like, or go and find a Black Panther number one, or I don't know if they've
rebooted it. They're bloody expensive. Yeah, they've rebooted it.
Have they rebooted it?
They rebooted it when he was announced for Civil War, and the comics, like, already quite expensive to get.
Rubbish. But, you know, you can go out and buy the graphic novels, I'm sure, man. They love, you know, Marvel love a graphic novel as well as every other comic book. But yeah, I mean, looking at the trailer itself, I love how deep it is, dark it is. It's got the dark element in it, which I love. That suit, though, man. That Black Panther
it's
suit.
It's made of... Good. The Vibranium.
Yeah,
the
Vibranium.
Same as, Thingy Shield.
So,
Captain America's Shield.
To be quite fair with you, and also when you see all this African dress and you see the castings, oh man, Andy Serkis, I can't wait to see Andy Serkis.
Yeah.
He's going to be awesome again. Oh, I can't wait to see it. But Dale, top pick with that news. I think it's absolutely awesome. I can't wait for next year. It's next year though, ain't it? It's like next February.
Yeah, but then, right, let's be honest. We still got to get through.
I know.
We still got to get through, like, blooming Dunkirk, which saw a new trailer for that the other day.
Yeah, we got that.
Really, really good.
Oh, man, I can't wait.
We still
got
to get through blooming Star Wars Episode 8. Waiting for that second
Justice League.
Justice League as well. See, you know, right, like that. Thor Ragnarok is so good. I'm hands down, I'm saying this right now. Thor Ragnarok is going to be one of the best Marvel films.
Oh,
so good.
Are you leaving it there?
Like that trailer, like unless they put all the best bits in the trailer and they absolutely cock it up, which for them to cock it up at this stage, I'd be amazed at. But the fact that he's fighting Hulk, the fact that there's Loki, there's John Goodman, there's blooming everything. Even Hell looks really, really good as a character and the costume looks awesome. She breaks for Majora or Thor's hammer.
I hope it's Do you know what I hope it is? A rags to riches story. Let's see a down on his luck for. See everything. And you're gonna get some Guardians of the Galaxy.
You still got Doctor Strange to pop in as well.
Yeah,
Doctor
Strange.
You saw the end credits, didn't you? Where it's like, I hope you find Loki. So
I know. Was it Loki? I think it was his dad.
No, he's finding Loki.
Oh what? Well, to be quite fair, I'm pumped. I mean, looking at the Black Panther, like I said, Guardians of the Galaxy original, Ant-Man, I'm excited. You know, they've really gone, and it's not exactly a teaser trailer where it's just like flash, flash, flash.
No.
There was little snippets of bits that you could be like, oh my God, what happens if? What happens if? And that's what I like about it. And that's what I'm loving about what this Marvel Universe is bringing to the table. Because it, unless they do a complete and utter wrong-un...
Which they can't do.
Which they can't, because they've got a formula.
They're on such a good streak. Like, they know who to cast. They know when to cast them. They know who to give them. Like, what actor, what character to give them. They're just on it.
They
know what they want. They know who they're getting. And they will wait for them. They wait for Benedict Cumberbatch. They will wait for their right man. Which is the power Disney and Marvel have.
We're just excited about... We're just excited in general. We love films and we love this Marvel Universe. I can't wait to see what direction it takes next. But the only thing I will say, Dale, is I want better end credit scenes than what we saw in Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah, God, like, to be fair, there was two that I liked.
Yeah.
And one was purely because of a...
Spoiler for the next.
The spoiler for the next wasn't even that good because, like, so many people next to us was like, who's Adam? Adam? Like, what?
Adam,
who's
Adam?
And like even James Gunn said, look, don't read too much into it because Adam's not going to be involved until Guardians 3, which is a good 3 years away.
Exactly. But and also, talking about the treatment has been done for Guardians 3.
Yeah.
He's been writing. I've seen. I follow James Gunn on Instagram. I follow him on Twitter. I think he's a great writer. He's a good film director. And to be quite fair, seeing when he's, you know, he's done and dusted with the treatment, then it's brilliant. Now, let's just see where it goes with it. I hope he's not going to trash the series.
Yeah.
But yeah, apart from that, have we got one more news?
You've got two more news.
Two more news. Well, the next one's me. The next one's me. John Wick,
yeah.
The third one, will be the end of the Assassin's journey.
Yeah, that's fine.
I'm happy with that because, to be quite fair, he's on the run now. We know, if you haven't seen it, spoiler, if you haven't seen it, he's on the run. And to be quite fair, when he was running through Central Park with all of them phones going off.
Well, he was limping, he wasn't even running.
He was hobbling, wasn't he? And, you know, I mean, there's a quote here from the director. He put, we are going to put in something about the high table, how that all works. We are going to put something about where John comes from and where he wants to go. I don't want to say much more, but it'll be nice completion for Mr. Wicks' journey. Now, I think that's awesome. He only had to say that paragraph, really, to just set us up nicely for the most simplistic and most interesting storyline I've had in years, to be quite fair. I love the character. The character's got so many layers, and we've broken down a few layers, but I think there's so much more to John than meets the eye. Off the back of that, they are creating a Continental TV show, which is basically the John Wick TV series.
Yeah.
So I'm pumped about that. Pumped about this last one. Dale's thoughts on that?
Yeah, no, like I like the first one. I'm a bit disappointed the way that he had to get started. Like, leave the dog alone. Come on. but I thought the second one was awesome. I love Ian McShane. I think that
Lovejoy.
I think that Keanu Reeves is awesome in this thing. And like I said before, I absolutely loved the shootout scene in John Wick 2 in the mirror room.
Brilliant.
I thought it was so well done. And it looked awesome. And the action is just incredible.
Do you know what that reminded me of? Live and Let Die, James Bond, Roger Moore, Bosch. Scene in there, old school. Great scene in that. Great scene in John Wick's 2. I was about to say 3. I'm getting well ahead of myself because I'm excited. But yeah, I see where you come from. And it was... And I think, to be quite fair, they didn't overplay it, did they?
No.
It could have gone on for years, that scene. But they didn't overbear it, and it was absolutely brilliant. I loved it. But yeah, good John Wick news, guys. It's going to be a trilogy. It's going to end at a trilogy. We're going to have a TV series. Let's just see if the TV series is just as good as the films.
Yep.
Dale.
Right, so wrapping up, we're going to be a little bit more light-hearted right now. So those of you that couldn't get Let It Go out of your head.
Oh, no.
The first trailer for the new Frozen short has been released.
No way.
So, you know, they're flogging this. They're going to keep going and keep going and keep going until they actually have released Frozen 2. Until they're able to come up with a full length story of Frozen.
I'm going to leave the room while you actually finish this news, Dale.
Oh, poor Tony. You can't stand it anymore.
Anyway.
So the short is set as the holidays... There's not a lot of specifics in the trailer, but there's frosty conditions. It's basically Christmas is fast approaching, and Anna and Elsa are disappointed to note that thanks to this year's the latter spent in isolation as a young woman afraid of her powers, and the death of her parents, they don't really have a holiday tradition. So Olaf, the lovable snowman, is going to help them on their way and, you know, brighten up their faces in
You're too involved, Dale. I'm looking at you.
Mate, the film. It's all, you know, there you go. Stop in your head, everything.
But to be quite fair to you, Frozen's a big franchise. I say a franchise. It's not. It's a one film, which they could make into so blinking many. But at the end of the day, it is for what it is. It is kiddie, kiddie,
kiddie. It came out in what, like, kiddie, 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 2015? It was less.
Speaking of kids' film, though, Dale, one I want to see this year is Despicable Me 3. I don't know why.
Oh, I saw the new trailer for that.
Yeah, that looks sick, really, didn't it? Good. With the Eminem music. Was that the one? Yeah, sick. But yeah, so that's great news, Dale. I love that.
Yeah, Frozen was 2013, so it's been four years, what? And all they've done is gone, here's a plush toy, here's a bag, here's a toy,
here's a teaser,
here's a single, here's this, here's that, and people just gone, bye.
Oh, I'm happy. Dale, I can't talk anymore about Frozen, I think my brain's going to melt. Pun. But yeah, so that was Buzz News, Dale.
So that is the end Buzz News. Join us next week for more.
Hey guys, we are back off of our holidays. I've already said this. Dale.
So we're back from our long break away. We are back.
Oh, it's a massive break.
We have been very, very busy. But we are going to crack straight on with this week's movie review, and then we have the giveaway at the end, so don't forget to stay tuned with us for that, whether you're listening or watching. So, Tony, hit us with the synopsis for The Mummy 2017.
Yeah, so director Alex Kurtzman's The Mummy stars Tom Cruise, Russell Crowe and Annabelle Wallace. An ancient princess is awakened from her crypt beneath the desert, bringing with her malevolence grown over millennia and terror that defies human comprehension. There was so much tongue twisting in there. I need time to take a breath, and there's a trailer somewhere, Dale, isn't there?
Because of your actions, this ancient power has returned. You are alive because you were chosen.
Chosen? By what?
Evil. The ultimate evil.
So, let's talk about Tom Cruise. Let's talk about The Mummy. Let's talk about Russell Crowe. Let's talk about everything
about this film. The
Monsterverse. I'm going to start with typical Tom Cruise.
Yeah.
Typical big, massive stunt scenes, about three or four of them throughout, all focused on Tom. And I don't think there was absolutely anything else. The storyline, I really, when it first started, I kind of thought to myself, I'm kind of watching something I watched back in 1999. Nothing here seems fresh. We're getting a backstory of an Egyptian princess and, you know, how she's been scorned. She's got a lover and she wants that lover to be with her. She's calling upon the dark arts.
Got that.
You know, it's kind of, to me, it was not fresh.
Yeah.
It was kind of stale, stagnant, and they kind of just wanted to get to the point where they were like, Tom's here. Tom can sort it all out. Give us that classic smile, Tom, and just give us that thumbs up. Because you're Maverick out of Top Gun. I don't know, Dale. Give me your first impressions. I'll just give you mine. Okay. What were your first impressions?
I thought Sophia Boutella, who played Aminette, which was the mummy, I thought she did really well. I thought that was quite nice. I thought Annabelle Wallace was a very, very strong character as well.
She was.
For the little bits of time she did have on screen. I disliked the whole, like, I liked the little Easter eggs, because you knew it was the Monsterverse, so I was constantly looking out for the different monsters, like the swamp thing, the vampire, the skull, and all this stuff. So I was looking out for those little drops, that was nice, and then obviously the Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde with Russell Crowe's character.
We'll get onto that in a bit.
Yeah, really nice in the trailer. What disappointed me was, like you said, it was all focused around Tom Cruise, and the fact that it was always about a damsel in distress.
I thought
we got past it. I thought we had gone past this in the movies here, right? Just because you have a female, like, companion does not mean she needs to be the damsel in distress. Now, there were parts where she was really, really strong, But then there were massive parts where she was playing the damsel in distress, the love interest. There was parts where she saw mummies and she was just like, ah, run away. And like, all right, I don't expect people to be, oh, I'm going to take the mummies on.
Yeah.
But it was all like, don't worry. Tom Cruise is here to save you. Don't worry.
Smile.
Like, she was a good actress. Yeah. And she, when she had her strong moments, she was very, very strong.
The thing that was refreshing about this story, which I really liked, was Tom's, I mean, I've got some notes here, guys. So if you see me looking down, I'm not being rude, because this film really did strike a chord with me that I really needed to get stuff off my chest. Tom Cruise played Nick Morton. And then we obviously had Jake Johnson, who played Chris Fowle. At the beginning, he was his pal. And I thought that was really refreshing. I thought their relationship was great. I loved the banter they had. And the thing that I really loved was the fact that, you know, obviously Chris wasn't in it very, very long. Spoiler alert. Yeah. And I loved it. Absolutely loved the chemistry they had. I to be fair, it was refreshing, because when you watch the old Mummy, it was, you know, strong lead, damsel in distress, quirky brother, and you kind of had to get that mix just right, which it did, and then all of a sudden you're like, oh great, yeah, but, so right, I want to see a bromance. This is me.
Did you compare it to the original Mummy? Because I didn't.
I didn't compare it as such, but when I saw that first opening scene, I was like, I'm back in 99 again.
I treated it as an individual movie, not compared to the other one, until they dropped the Book of the Dead.
Yeah, when they dropped that book, I was just like, what? And then obviously the next Easter egg was the sandstorm.
Yeah, so as there was a part where there was a fight in Dr. Jekyll's library and a book goes on the floor, and it's obviously the Book of the Dead from the original 1999 Mummy.
Yeah.
They didn't need to do that for me. I did not need to have a nod back to that, because I was quite happy judging it and watching it and seeing it.
Just as a standalone.
As a standalone.
Yeah.
As a, this is our new flagship. You know, Marvel's got the Avengers and all the DC and all that. Disney have got Marvel. Warner Brothers have got DC. We've got the MonsterVerse. We've got the old school classic original villains.
Yeah.
That was good. I was happy and bought
to be
into
quite
that.
Fair, and I was happy with that. And then when we see the casting photo, I was quite happy about that. Johnny Depp being an Invisible Man, with the Frankenstein's been cast. Yeah. Blah 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 blah. I didn't see it as that. I did at first, when I sat down, I got relaxed, as I normally do in the cinema, and then I thought, right, we're going to watch, like Dow said, it's going to be something brand new.
Yeah.
And I thought, great. But then when it started, I keep saying when it started, but because it started near enough Bob on, I was like...
Exactly the same, yeah.
I was like, come on, like, give me some Tom Cruise backstory. You know, you could have started with that story first and then led up to why she was, you know, this princess that was scorned and evil and wanted to inflict pain and sorrow that she felt, you know. But it just lacked.
Yeah.
And ever since that point, I was kind of just sitting there going, yeah. Like, Tom's on the screen. Oh, I've seen this before.
See, that's what I couldn't get around as well. So we're gonna move on towards the end part. So basically, at the end, the mummy is trying to revive Set, which is the Lord of the Dead from the Egyptian lore.
Yeah.
And part of the deal where the mummy was given all the dark powers, she had to stab her loved one with a cursed blade and a gem to allow Set to take over the person's body. Now, towards the end, Tom Cruise is chosen as the chosen one for Set, and the woman tries to stab Tom Cruise. The mummy tries to stab Tom Cruise, give him Set and all this stuff. Now, Anne's character gets killed. She gets drowned by the mummy because there can only be one chosen love. Anyway, Tom Cruise fights over Set, so he kills the mummy and then brings life back to Anne's character. And then basically from then on, he has the power over life and death. So he brings back his best friend brings his best friend back to life. And then right at the end, you see the pair of them just, you know, riding across the desert. And I thought it was real cheese. It didn't need to be done. You know, obviously the mummy's still there because she was just being buried, and it was kind of like, okay, so what's Tom Cruise? So basically what they're going to do is they're going to bring out all these monsters from the MonsterVerse. Tom Cruise is going to come back, probably lead a team of like Van Helsing and something like that.
I've got different opinions on that, where Tom Cruise's character goes after this, because I think it's right the way they should do it, and it should be done in the right manner and not the wrong manner. Talking about Russell Crowe's character, Dr. Heckle, Mr. Hyde, I liked it, simplicity in its finest. People were kind of slating it, going, oh, well, he didn't really transform when he become... You don't need to be monstrous when you've got a split personality and one's got the kind of supernatural and anger behind it.
Yeah, the strength behind it.
I thought he was good. He was straightforward. He was all right, there's a lot more. He's going to pop up so much more.
Yeah, he's going to be the Coulson.
He will
in the Marvel Universe. He's going to be the Coulson to tie the rest together. He's going to be in and out of all of them.
And I thought he was really good. The slight bit we see him in, it was good. Tom was trying to be funny through it as well, which didn't work for me. But Tom Cruise's character. Now, I think personally, because now he's got that kind of immortality, I think personally he is going to start turning into a mummy. And I think this is where the franchise will go, Dale.
Well, because he's going to be the
Because
mummy.
When you see him at the end, hood...
Yeah, but he wasn't really changing, because he was still human. He was just put his hood up for the sandstorm.
But to be quite fair to you, it's going to change. I'll guarantee you, because he's got that... I can see him being the big badass mummy in future.
No, he'll be the hero. He'll be the one that comes back and he's like, I'll lead the team, I'll do this.
But wouldn't
I'll
you
do
like
that.
To see Tom Cruise in a different element, a different life? Would you like to see him in a villainous role?
Of course we would, but I don't think that's him, and I don't think that's what the production studios are going to do for him.
I think, to be quite fair to you, I absolutely think he's going to be some kind of mummy. And then whether it's going to be a villain, or whether it's going to be a goodie, or whether he's just not going to be a mummy and he's going to be, like you said, this kind of Van Helsing that's just going to go on and on and on.
I don't think he's going to be Van Helsing. I think he's going to be brought back
to lead.
I think he's going to be brought back to lead a team.
Team, yeah.
And he's going to join up with Anna again. He'll join up with a character from Van Helsing.
Yeah.
And he'll just be like, look, we've got our team. We're going to go take on the mummy and so and so and so and so. Like, I just think it's going to be a.
Other aspects, I mean, obviously the big stunts were great. The plane scene, that was obviously, we all know now, we've had it dubbed into us. It was 65 takes, the crew got sick, blah, 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 blah. It was all real zero gravity. I thought it was good. In places it was good, but obviously it was just, in my mindset, I just saw, you know, likeness, you know, about everything about the 1999 version. And when they started dropping Easter eggs, I thought, and then there was one point where she said, my mum says, da, 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 and I thought,
Are you
going to say Rachel Weisz is your mum? Am I going to sit here? Am I going to hear that? Am I just going to be there going, well, why didn't we just do a sequel?
Yeah, why didn't it extended?
But apart from that, CG was good. I did like CG. The elements, different elements in it were really good. Yeah. Cinematography was on point in different sections.
I thought it had some really tense, nervous moments that built up the horror. Like the part where he's going through the catacombs, the water down catacombs, trying to swim away, and all these mummies.
The old knights are trying to grab
him
down.
The only thing I heard about is like, is this a mummy film or a zombie film? It felt like a zombie film because there's always hordes of zombies.
Hordes, yeah, trying
or
to grab
mummies
them.
Coming after them. So. Walking Dead 2.0.
You know, Sophia was great as the mummy. She was absolutely brilliant. She looked fierce, vicious.
Yeah.
You know, and I love that. But apart from that, it didn't really grab
my
attention.
No, it wasn't like, you know, amazing.
But it's not going to be, it's what we said before. We're not. These are not films that are going to be like 10 out of 10, blockbuster,
I don't expect it to be 10 out of 10, but I expect them to not do all the cheesy nod backs or like a little Easter egg where you go, yes, cool, excellent.
Do you know
well
what
done.
Would have been the best nod back? Would have just been the book going plop and then them not saying another word.
Not even the book to being a plop, to be fair. Like maybe the key, like something more smaller.
Oh, you mean like the key, the hexagon?
Yeah, the hexagon key triangle thing. Like that in a glass cabinet would have been quite nice. But anyway, right, let's wrap it up.
Yeah.
So The Mummy 2017, I think The Mummy was portrayed quite well. There was a couple of horror tense moments, but I thought it was too Tom Cruise central. I thought it was, it didn't have the right balance. It lacked in a couple of areas and it didn't have the right amount of horror for a 15. It didn't have the right amount of comedy to line it up. And then there were too many cheesy throwbacks that weren't good throwbacks. Like, you know, it would have been nice, because I don't know if you've seen Dracula Untold.
No, I've not seen that yet, and I wouldn't mind seeing
it. It would be nice to see if they try and link that up. But anyway, I think it was a sound movie in the middle, like, very, very happy to sit there, watch it. Don't know how much I would pay for it. Wouldn't watch it in 3D or anything like that. 2D's enough. So for me, it's a 5 out of 10.
To be quite fair, Dal, I'm bang in the middle as well. It wasn't bad. It wasn't good. It was too Tom Cruise driven.
Yeah.
And to be quite fair, you know, the actors around him could have, you know, easily have had more to do in that.
Yeah.
I love the casting of the mummy. I didn't like everything that was kind of, like Dal said, a touch on what was happening before in the previous mummy films. Apart from that, bang in the middle, a 5. So we're going to wrap things up here with the main review, The Mummy. We're going to call it a 5 out of 10 here on the Weekend Buzz, guys. Boom. Right. So then, deep breath.
Moving on to this week's giveaway, because this week's giveaway is amazing.
This is absolutely awesome, guys. So if you would like a balloon, a red balloon from it. No, I'm joking.
Red balloon with it attached.
With it attached to it, no.
That would actually be pretty cool. I would love to have that as just a creepy little it doll that you sit on your window and just be like...
Yeah. So let's get on to it. So let's talk about this week's competition. We have got though last week. I was going to say last week.
When we yeah, got, we no, got last week. Week. So,
oh, let's go.
Last
now.
Week we were giving away part number three of The Button, which is a Batman Flash crossover comic.
Yeah.
And all you had to do was watch our review of King Arthur, give us a big thumbs up on the Facebook page and on the video, and then answer a very simple question, which is what was the name of King Arthur's sword? And the winner was... Rafquat Shahar, so the sword is called Excalibur. I apologise if I got your name wrong.
My man!
But congratulations on that. So Rafquat Shahar, you won last week's video, or 3 weeks ago video, which was quite simply for Batman issue 22, I believe.
So there you go, my man, you've won that prize. It will be winging its way to you, we'll be in touch. So, on to this week's prize, which I am absolutely, you know, stoked about. I'm going to raise it up here. I'm going to go into my magic box of prizes. I'm going to have a rummage.
So, this comes from London MCM Comic Con itself. You know, signed, sealed, will be delivered. And it is from the one and the only Donnie Yen. So, there's a bit of glare on it. So, bring it close to the camera for us, Tony, so we can get rid of the glare.
And we got there, down.
Up a little bit. To the left. No. Down. Left. Right. Left. There you go. Look at that. There you go. Perfect. It's a signed Donnie Yen pop in a pop protector, signed firsthand by Donnie Yen. Trust me, I couldn't get anywhere near trying to forge that if I wanted to. This comes from MCM London Comic Con. We got him to do that for us. You can take it back from the camera now.
And well, we've got a massive thank you to say because it wasn't for the wife. She done a very good job trying to get these for us.
Great job
so.
On that.
To be quite fair, this is a once, this is...
We're not going to get many of these going
you're
around,
not,
so...
No, you know, you're not.
It's very, very cool, very, very unique, and it's very, very simple to watch to win that. So all you have to do...
Go on in, Dale. Hit me.
Subscribe to our YouTube channel.
Yeah.
Give us a big thumbs up on the video. You know, they're the two easy steps. Follow us on our Facebook page. The links will be in the description below. All incredibly simple.
Yeah.
And answer this very, very, very easy question.
Yeah.
What is the name of Tom Cruise's character in Top Gun?
Oh! You're going to have to be a maverick to get that, Dale.
All right.
You really are.
Easy. Easy hot shot. Take it down.
God.
So, to win yourself a signed Donnie Yen pot, or have a chance to win a signed Donnie Yen pot, answer the very simple question.
Yeah.
What is the name of Tom Cruise's character in Top Gun? If you don't get that right, especially with this clue coming up...
Maverick, sir. How's it feel to be on the front page of every newspaper in the English-speaking world?
Ooh. Clue and a half.
So, even with that clue, if you do not get this right, shame on you. This is for a signed.
Let's see
Donnie
it again. Oh, I don't know. Dale's going to guide me, guys.
Right, just hold it up. No. There you go. A little bit of a glare. But there's a signed Donnie Yen pop. There you go.
There you go,
signed
guys.
Signed Donnie Yen pop from MCM London Comic Con. If you weren't there and you want one, bing, bang, bosh, it's right there. Answer the very simple question. What is the name of Tom Cruise's character in Top Gun?
Oh, I love that
bing,
film.
Bang, bosh.
I feel the need, the need for speed. Ow! I love it, though. Next week's Rewind's Top Gun, yeah?
No. Oh, next week's Rewind.
God!
No, because this is a good one. Next week's Rewind,
go
because
for
it links up with our main movie review of the week.
Woo!
Our main movie review of next week is Baby Driver, the brand new film by Edgar Wright. It looks amazing.
Epic.
It's such an underrated film. It looks awesome.
Epic.
So, our Rewind is going to be one of Edgar Wright's favourites, one of my personal favourites. And I love it so, so much.
Come on, go for
so,
it, man.
Do you want anything from the shop, Tony?
I'll have a Cornetto, please.
Cornetto.
And a Diet Coke, please.
Diet Coke. Dibba 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 dibba. So, for those of you who don't know what it is, shame
on you. I love it,
Dale. We will be rewinding Shaun of the Dead.
Yes, Dale! You never fail to disappoint me, my man.
Tony.
What?
You got red on you.
Have I?
There's a girl in the garden. See, we've watched it way too much.
Way too many.
Rewind will be Shaun of the Dead. Our main movie review of next week will be Baby Driver. To win yourself a signed Donnie Yen pop from MCM London Comic Con, all you have to do is tell us the name of Tom Cruise's character in Top Gun, Bing Bang Bosh.
Yeah.
And that's it. So, thanks for watching. Don't forget to like, comment, subscribe, share.
Exactly.
And join us next week, 10 a.m. Saturday, for our next instalment of The Weekend Buzz. Thank you all. I've been Dale.
I've been Tony. He's stolen everything.
I've stolen his entire outro.
I feel like I've just been robbed.
You could do the outro.
Well, thank you very much for watching. This has been the Weekend Buzz. Like Dale said, he's been Dale, I've been Tony. Remember to like, subscribe, comment, press that notification bell so you don't miss out on anything. Stay fresh, fam, and I'll see you all next week.